We have been in a foundational series called We Could All Use a Little Bit More God. So it's a series about the basics. And as I've shared with you guys, basics are not just a one and done type of thing. I am a stickler for the basics and going over and over and over and over the basics. Raul is not here today. He was here last week, but he's one of our students next door. They get it. So you would like that, Terry. So they don't let them get away with stances. We're measuring them off. We're checking them. So it's this coming Saturday. So you came to my test, and I super appreciated that, but I'm a 47-year-old guy. So next week, we've got a 14, 15-year-old, and a 17-year-old testing for their second degree, and I can coach better than I can perform now at this stage. So they look really good. So, but I'm a stickler for basics. And basics, they're not something you just cover once. Basics are the foundation. So you always have to return to the basics and check up on them, brush up on them, clean them up, get them, improve on them, contemplate them, refocus them, because we are only as strong as our foundation, correct? You can't, whatever you build, it's going to come crumbling down if the foundation's not solid. And so we could all use a little bit more God. And so this is a very basic series, going back to the foundational elements, fundamental elements. We could all stand to deepen our faith in God, to have a spiritual retreat, to slow down and develop that relationship, to pause and refocus with the sole purpose of growing closer to God, growing in God. That's the first part of our mission statement here. We've talked about the importance of a relationship with God. We talked about that in the very first message in the series. We talked about the importance of being in His Word. We talked about the importance of leaning on God and taking things to Him, depending on Him. We talked about the importance of keeping in step with His Spirit inside of us last week. Today we're talking about actively trusting God, and that is living by faith. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, "For in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by what? Live by faith." 2 Corinthians 5, 7, a very familiar little verse here. "For we live by faith, not by sight." Galatians 2:20, "I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Just as Jim was just describing a moment ago. Hebrews 10, verse 38 says, "But my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved." So we are called to live by faith. I'm just going to write this down because this connects with our series very clearly. Actions of faith always, and I'm always careful about using the word always. I'm very careful about using definitive statements because There's always that little, you know, exception to the rule or a little something. So a lot of times I'll say most of us or most of the time. But in some cases, always is always. And I really believe that this is one of those cases, that actions of faith always result in more God in our life. Actions of faith always result in more God in our life. Acting in faith, stepping out of the boat, taking God at His word, full dependence, full trust on God. Anytime you step out in your faith, it will result in more God in your life. Your relationship will be stronger. Your faith will be more secure. You will grow closer to God. You will learn more about God, the person of God. Your character will develop more. You will mature as a child of God. Every time we act in faith, this will happen. When we think of actions of faith, we think of like big things, don't we? Like when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood up against Nebuchadnezzar, asserting that they will not bow down before that giant golden idol. Or we think of stories like Peter and John speaking out against the Sanhedrin, declaring that they would not be silent about the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Or Moses boldly confronting Pharaoh and freeing the Israelites from slavery in Egypt and miraculously crossing the Red Sea on dry land. We think of Paul courageously seeking an audience before the Caesar to share the gospel with him and anyone else he has a chance to share with on the way there. Think of Noah building a gigantic ark to escape a worldwide flood. Or Abraham leaving the comfort of his homeland to journey to an undisclosed location that would be a blessing to him and his ancestors. I mean, how often are we presented with a call to faith like that? You know, if that's what we look at as far as that's what actions of faith are, they're big like that. They're huge. They're, you know, it's not very often that we encounter a blatant burning bush that calls us to a very specific action of faith. Or we're faced with a very public challenge to choose God or choose the decree of the government. How often are we up on Mount Carmel facing off against the pagan worshipers of liberalism? I mean, worshipers of Baal. Some of this might be more true than I imagine. And we pray that our God would show up and prove that he is indeed the true God. Yes, sometimes we will have our belief challenged, and there'll be times when we will need to stand up for the truth we believe in. Sometimes we'll be called to a very specific task by God, and we will have those burning bush moments, but those aren't everyday occurrences. And if the actions of faith always result in more God, but those don't come very often, they're few and far between, then how are we to live by faith? How are we to live by faith and not by sight? My righteous will live by faith. They will not shrink back. I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live, but he lives in me, and I live by faith in the Son. How are we to do that? I mean, actions of faith will always result in more God. They will always bring us closer to him. They will always deepen our relationship with him. They will always build more trust, more dependence. So we should cherish those opportunities when we have them, shouldn't we? Those opportunities to build that relationship by acting in faith. We might feel like those opportunities to live by faith are far few and far between. I mean, think of Moses. I mean, he only had one burning bush. That was it. His whole lifetime, that was one burning bush. Noah only survived one flood in the ark. I want to take this morning and just remind you of a couple of opportunities to live by faith we have on a regular basis. And I think we tend to forget that these are acts of faith, and they are regular acts of faith that will bring us closer to God, that will result in more God in our life. I think we forget that they are acts of faith because they happen so regularly. We get into a habit and a pattern, and that's good. It's a positive habit. It's a positive pattern. But we might forget that they're actions of faith, and I want to bring that back up to the surface this morning. We are given an opportunity to act in faith in a very specific way once every week. A weekly Sabbath rest. A weekly Sabbath rest is an opportunity once every 7 days to practice faith. A Sabbath rest is healthy for us. And God knew what he was doing when he developed this. And this goes all the way back to the garden. God had planned a Sabbath rest for his people when he created the earth. 6 days he created the earth, and on the seventh day he rested. He didn't do that because he needed to rest. He did it to establish a pattern for us because he knew that it would be healthy for us to take a day and just physically chill, just to take a day and take a break. And we needed that physically. We needed emotionally to take a break, to separate ourselves, let ourselves kind of recoup and replenish and revitalize. We need that. If you keep running in the red all the time, you're going to burn out. And that's not what God wants for his people. He wants us to be healthy and functional and at 100%. And the only way you're going to be 100% is to take that rest. God knew all about mental health before mental health was a buzzword. Before people filled the shelves of bookstores and tons of online stuff and Amazon and on other online bookstores of self-help books all about mental health, God had prepared for that before he even brought people on earth. When he planned to make the earth in 6 days and then rest on the seventh, he gave us a Sabbath day, and it's very, very healthy for us. Not only for our physical, our emotional, or our mental recovery, but we need it, most importantly, for our spiritual recovery, for our spiritual connection, to be healthy on a spiritual level. The Sabbath rest is one of the Ten Commandments. And interesting enough, if you look in your Bibles, and I've brought this up before, there is more ink spent on that commandment than any of the other nine. If you'd look in your Bible and you'd look at it, just kind of take a step back, go to Exodus chapter 20, and just look at the Ten Commandments listed out there, you'd see a little bit, and a big something, and a bunch of, and then some little ones at the very end. There's more ink spent, more chiseling spent on the Sabbath rest. How ironic that was for Moses. chisel about the Sabbath rest. Let's read that commandment out of the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So how is the Sabbath day an act of faith? Well, God designed the Sabbath for us. Jesus makes that very, very clear, abundantly clear during his time here on earth, that the Sabbath was made for us, not as just another commandment to obey. It was made for us. But it takes faith to take a Sabbath rest. And that was another part that God designed in the Sabbath day. He designed it so it would be a regular act of faith for his people, to trust him, to depend on him. In order to take a Sabbath rest once a week, we have to trust that God is going to provide for us that seventh day. We have to trust that 6 days we're going to work, and then we have to have faith that God's going to provide for seven out of 6 days of labor. We're going to be able to get done everything we need to get done in 6 days, and we trust him that it's all going to be okay to take a rest on the seventh. It takes trust. It takes faith. And this was the origin of the Sabbath rest for God's people in the deserts with the manna. They would collect just enough for that day. And if they tried to collect more, then because he instructed them, you just collect enough for one day. And of course, you got those people that, you know, everybody's got them. I want to collect more, you know. Well, the next day they woke up and it was stinky. It stank and it was all filled with maggots. It would not last. It had awful shelf life. Because God wanted them to only gather what they needed for that day. You gather this day, what you need for this day. You gather this day, what you need for that day. If it goes to the next day, it's gone. So don't gather more because it's going to be wasted anyway. It's except for the sixth day. He said, gather enough for 2 days on the sixth day. And when they woke up on day seven, guess what? The manna they had collected on day six was fresh. They had experienced what it was like to collect more than they needed on any of the other days of the week. Next day, it stank and it was full of maggots. But on day six, God said, trust me, I'm going to take care of you. This was the origin of the Sabbath rest, of the Sabbath day. The Sabbath rest is an opportunity for us to practice faith once a week, every week. And sometimes, I mean, we get so busy. And we don't take advantage of this. I mean, if actions of faith always result in more God in our life, are we on the same page there? Would you say that is a true statement? And we're not always going to get a burning bush or a call to build an ark or a call to go meet against the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. We might not have those. In fact, the people that experienced those were one and done type situations with them. But look, we are given an opportunity every 7 days to participate in an act of faith. And we should cherish that. But how often do we dismiss it? We say, no, no, I got too much, or I got this. No, no, no. God says, slow down, pause. You need it. You need it physically, you need it emotionally, you need it mentally, and you need it spiritually. You need to take this day and slow down and stop. You just need to trust me with this day. See, it's an act of faith to take the Sabbath day. It's an act of trust. And we're given that opportunity every 7 days. Every 7 days we have an opportunity to invest into our relationship with God, to grow closer to him, to grow deeper, for our faith to be more and more and more secure. So I just want to encourage you this morning. This is available. It's there. And this has nothing to do with your spiritual giftedness. This has nothing to do with if you're an extrovert or introvert, if you're male or female, or whatever color your skin is, whatever. This has nothing to do with any differences that are present in all of humans. Every person can do this. Age. If you're working, if you've retired, if you're in school, if you're just in, you know, kindergarten, just starting out. Everyone can do this. Everyone can do this. And it's a practice of faith and trust. And we benefit from it. We get a chance to recharge, to just slow down. We have another regular call to faith for each of us that happens on a regular basis, and that is the tithe. Bringing the tithe is another way to practice faith on a regular basis. Bringing the tithe. Our church is no stranger to bringing the tithe. You guys are pretty awesome here. Give you a pat on the back, atta boys and atta girls here. You know, while other churches were suffering during the shutdown of 2020, we were paying an additional minister's salary and updating the foyer with new carpet and new paint. We provided for all of the kids and adults to go to CIY while also still giving, over $7,000 to the restoration efforts out front. And in fact, we're not just doing the front. I don't know if you've seen the back. Oh my goodness. It looks awesome. It looks really, really good. It's cleaned up. I know the people out there, and I won't say names. Some of you guys know who they are, so I don't want to. But they were busting their tails, and it shows. If you have not been out back, you need to take a look. We have little walkways where everybody walked anyway. So now we have official walkways to walk across the little medians there. Things have cleaned up. It looks nice and neat. And that is just a prequel of what's going to be happening out front and how beautiful that's going to look. And the stairs. And it's just going to be awesome, awesome, awesome. And you guys gave to that while also giving to CIY, while also, and those are offerings. Those are above and beyond. While also keeping up with your tithe, bringing the tithe. Our church is no stranger to bringing the tithe. I just want to remind you this morning that the tithe is a practice of faith on a regular basis. For some of you, it's every week. For some of you, maybe it's every other week. David and I were just talking, I think it was last week, we were talking, and David gives every other week. That's his pattern, is every other week. Some of you guys might give the way our family does. We give once a month. Whatever it is, it is a regular pattern of giving. And that can form good habits, which is excellent. But sometimes when it becomes a regular thing, we forget that it's an act of faith. It's an act of faith. It's an act of worship to bring the tithe. Many years ago, a number of us here took the Malachi 3:10 challenge. Malachi 3:10 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. The whole tithe, the whole 10%. That's what tithe means. It's 10%. Elsewhere, we learn the importance of giving our first fruits, that we are to give off the top, that we are to give from the gross income, not the net income, okay? The big number, that we give to God before we give to the government. That we give to God before we give to our federal or state or local or schools or whatever, all that stuff that gets taken out. We give to God first. So you give to God off the top. That's first fruits. I shared with you guys my dilemma a few years ago when I was really, really hit pretty heavy because we had bumped ours up and we were being faithful. It was a step of faith when we did. And then the following year, I was like, oh, if I tithe on the first fruits, that's everything. I've got my salary package, and included in that is housing and whatnot. But I also have medical that's taken care of, our family's insurance. I should tithe on that also because that's a benefit. And that was a huge dilemma for me because that's a pretty good amount. Our health insurance is about $16,000. The church pays $13,000. That's $1,300 more a year to tithe. That's like $110, $108 a month, more than what we were giving. And we were already giving a substantial amount. And that was a big dilemma for me because I was like, oh man, that's going to take a lot of faith. We stepped into faith, you know, the years before, and now that's a bigger step of faith, and we took it. We stepped out on that, and God's been taking care of us, no doubt about that. We have to remember that the tithe, however regular you bring it, if it's once a week, once every other week, once a month, if it's a positive, habitual pattern, that's great. We cannot forget that it is an act of faith. And if it ceases to be an act of faith, then we need to do something about that because the tithe should be an act of faith. If it gets easy, then maybe it's time to turn it up. I'm not wanting more money for the church by any means. We're doing good. But if it's an act of faith and it doesn't take faith to do it, then is it an act of faith? That's all I'm saying. If it is an act of faith and you just forgot because it's gotten to where you're comfortable, then revisit that this morning and realize, you know what? It really is an act of faith because we've been trusting God with this for month and month and month and month for years, and he's been taking care of us, and it really is an act of faith. I need to remember that when I write that check, that it's not just a duty. It's an act of faith, and we can grow closer to God. We can have more of God in our lives by understanding that is an act of faith. Malachi 3:10, God offers this challenge. It's a faith challenge. God says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your field will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. God's going to do things. He's going to do extra things to make sure that you're taken care of. So bringing the tithe is another way to practice faith on a regular basis. So those are just two. I just brought up two very regular, very common examples of how we can act in faith on a regular basis. No need for a burning bush. No need for an ark or a worldwide flood. No need for the prophets of Baal to be going wild and Jezebel we kind of have. Anyway, but no need for that. We can do this on a regular basis. Taking a Sabbath day, taking a Sabbath rest, and bringing the tithe. Let me remind you that acts of faith acts of faith are expressions of worship. Acts of faith are expressions of worship. The very first place where the word worship shows up in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 22. This is when Abraham is climbing the mountain with Isaac to sacrifice him. It was Abraham, Isaac, and two of Abraham's servants. Chapter 22 in Genesis, verse 4, it says, on the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servant, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship. First time that word shows up in the Bible is right there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. The Hebrews writer lets us in on a little bit of Abraham's thinking here. The Hebrews writer says that Abraham reasoned that God could bring him back from the dead because this was God's promised child. God, Abraham and Sarah waited for years and years and years. They were barren. Abraham was 100 years old when they had Isaac. And now God is asking him to sacrifice him. And so Abraham reasoned, according to the Hebrews writer, God can bring him back from the dead. I'm going to act in faith. I'm going to act in obedience here. Nothing in this account or in any other biblical commentary about it suggests that Abraham was going to avoid this huge action of faith. He was going to go through with it. And this action of faith was where the first place is the first place where the word worship shows up in our Bibles. Actions of faith are expressions of worship. They go hand in hand. The word worship, it means worth ship. Ship as a suffix, it means to be in a state of. Friendship, you're in a state of being friends. Sportsmanship, you're in the state of being a sportsman. Citizenship, you're in the state of being a citizen. Discipleship, you're in the state of being a disciple. So when you add the suffix ship, it means you're in the state of being. So when we talk about worship, worth-ship, we're acknowledging that God is in a state of worthiness, that he is in a state of worth, and we acknowledge that. That's what worship means. God was worthy of Abraham's obedience, even to sacrifice his only son. And so that act of faith was worship. It was an expression of worship. Anytime we act out in faith, we're showing God that he has worth to us. If it's one of those big moments where we are called to speak out publicly about God, where we are challenged publicly, and we stand up boldly and we speak out, this is what I believe and this is why. These are the reasons for my faith. That's not just apologetics or defending the faith or standing up. That's worship. That's showing God and showing yourself and showing whoever you're talking about that God is worth you talking about him. When we have the burning bush moment in our life where we're called to something very specific and it takes a lot of faith to make that step, when we do, that step is also an expression of worship because we're saying, God, you are worth taking this step. You're worth leaving my comfort zone and going to some undisclosed location because you said that's where the promised land is going to be found. And when we do these simple things that I brought up today, when we take a Sabbath rest, we're saying, God, you are worth me trusting you. You're worth my obedience. I'll work 6 days, I'll take a seventh day and rest because you're worth it, God. What are we saying when we don't take the seventh day? I mean, you know, it goes that way too, doesn't it? Your advice is all good and dandy and all, I just can't take it today. I can't do it this week. Why? Because his advice isn't worth. It's lost value in our eyes when we do that. When we obey in faith, when we act out in faith, that's an expression of worship. When we bring the tithe, that's not just an act of faith that grows us closer to God and creates a more secure faith, a stronger dependence, a stronger trust on him. It is an expression of worship. That's why we have it as part of our worship service on a Sunday morning, to bring the tithe, to worship. I don't know what I missed. If you guys don't mind, I'm just going to read what I had here because I think I said it. But I want to get a run into where I was heading next. So actions of faith, like the two I talked about. Sabbath rest is worship. Bringing the tithe is worship. Any other action of faith, whether regular or routine, or rare or out of the ordinary, anytime we act out in faith, that is worship. That is lifting God up. That is acknowledging that God is worth our obedience. Acts of faith will bring us closer to God. If they're regular and routine, or if they are rare or and out of the ordinary, they are still actions of faith, and we will still grow closer to God through them, and we will worship God through them. Taking a Sabbath day every week may not seem like a big deal, but it is. It's a weekly way to practice faith. Bringing the tithe regularly might not seem like a big deal, but it is. It's a regular way to practice acting in faith. My favorite Bruce Lee quote is this: I fear not the man who has practiced 10,000 kicks once, but I fear the man who has practiced one kick 10,000 times. I love that quote. Church, never underestimate the value of repetition. God knew it. That's why he built things like the Sabbath rest, like the tithe. Every week that you practice the Sabbath, you are practicing an action of faith. And it's repetition, and it's repetition, and it's repetition, and it's faith again, and it's faith again, and it's faith again. And that's how you build things. Every time you bring the tithe, you're practicing an action of faith, and you're doing it over and over and over and over, and it's repetitive, and it's repetition, and it's repetition. And that matters. Jesus told a story once of a man that was going on a journey. And he called his servants in and he gave them each some of his wealth. To one he gave 5 bags of gold. To another he gave 2 bags of gold. And to a third he gave 1 bag of gold. Well, the man left on his journey, and the one who had 5 bags of gold, he put the money to work and he gained 5 bags of gold back. The man who was entrusted with 2 bags did the same thing, and he gained 2 bags in return. But the man who had 1 bag hid his bag because he didn't want to risk losing it. Verse 19, we pick up on this story, this parable. It says, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought back the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servants. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man who had 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. And the story continues. And a lot of times we focus on that third guy, but I don't even want to talk about the third guy today. It's not about the third guy today. It's about guy number one and number two. It's about those that on a regular basis. See, when you do something on a regular basis, little things, they stack up. The guy who had 5 and invested and got 5 more. The guy who had 2 and invested and got 2 more. What does the master say? You've been faithful with a few things. You've been faithful with the little things. I'm going to give you more. You've been faithful in the Sabbath rest week after week after week after week. Now I'm ready to give you something big. I'm ready to give you a big faith assignment. You've been faithful in the tithe week after week or month after month. Regular, repetition. You've been faithful in this little thing. Now I'm going to give you something bigger. I think we all remember the old Karate Kid movie, the classic. When Mr. Miyagi takes Daniel-san under his wing, and he has him doing all the work around the house, you know, he's waxing on, waxing off, sanding the floor, and paint the fence, you know. And he gets to that just iconic moment in that movie where Daniel's just beside him. He's like, look, I'm doing all this work for you. And it's just this, you told me you teach me karate. And he's like, son of the floor. Remember? No. You know? You remember? And everyone remembers that because it is a great scene. And I don't know if you've heard the term or not, but sometimes people will use the term, you've been Miyagi'd. When someone leads you through something to get you to a point where you didn't realize where you're going. Guys, listen, the Sabbath rest, we're being Miyagi'd by God. That's sand the floor. That's paint the fence. Bringing the tithe, it's the same thing. And what it does is it repetition, 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 and it teaches us faith, 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 the benefits from faith, what I gain from faith, my relationship with God is stronger, it's deeper, it's better, it's more secure, I trust him more, I depend on him more. It happens every week when we take a Sabbath. It happens every time we regularly bring the tithe. And every time we do that, it's one little thing after another little thing. And when we're faithful in the little things, God will bring the big things. Amen. So let me remind you this morning that you don't need a burning bush to have a moment where you can express your worship towards God and have faith in him. We don't always need a worldwide flood or the Sanhedrin arresting us or Pharaoh keeping the Egyptians as slaves. Or Nebuchadnezzar erecting this huge gold idol. We don't always need those big moments to practice our faith. We can do it every week. We can do it repetitively. We can do it, and those times prepare us for when the golden idol is erected, when we are called to rescue people from slavery, when we are called to build an ark, when we are called to do any of these huge tasks. Actions of faith, trusting in God. Let's write this down. We haven't gotten there yet, so this is the final one here. Small, regular actions of faith prepare us for the large, rare actions of faith. Small, regular actions of faith prepare us for the large, rare actions of faith. A weekly Sabbath is an opportunity once every 7 days to practice faith. Bringing the tithe is another way to practice faith on a regular basis. Actions of faith are expressions of worship. Small, regular actions of faith prepare us for large, rare actions of faith. And whether it's a big action or a small action, any and every action of faith, it always results in more God in our life. Pray with me. Father, we thank you so much for these. You're so awesome. You're so smart. Putting things in our life like the Sabbath rest every week to remind us of our trust in you, of our dependence on you, our faith in you. And we benefit from it. Not just our faith, we physically benefit, we mentally and emotionally benefit from a Sabbath rest. You've tied all that in together. We not only get the reward of more of you in our life, more trust, but we get the reward of just simply taking that rest. Father, we thank you for the idea of tithe and this whole concept where your storehouse will be full when we bring the tithe. And that's awesome because that's the ability to do more ministry, to be able to send kids to CIY, to be able to support missions overseas and help them out and see the gospel being printed in Arabic for all of Egypt to be able to have commentaries in their language. But Father, not only does your kingdom benefit from that, but we benefit as we act in faith. And we just thank you for this. We praise you. These are simple and yet just genius. Father, help us not to neglect these opportunities that we have on a regular basis to practice our faith. to give you worship, to express that we feel that you are in a state of being worth. Father, you're so good to us. We thank you. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.